We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk. Okay. It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle 1, Everton 1, and Newcastle have only managed to take a point off Premier League record bad form Everton tonight at St. James's Park due to an insane foul committed by Paul Dummett, resulting in an Everton penalty. I'm Charlotte. I'm with Si, Adam and Ben, and we're going to get into it for you. First question really is, are you disappointed in them? Them being the team. Are you disappointed in them or not? There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of anger on social media tonight about the inability to kind of grasp the moment and put away a poor side. How are you feeling, Si?
Yeah, disappointed is probably the right word. It's weird because on Saturday at 70 minutes, I was really annoyed and frustrated and then finished the game delighted with how we'd managed to pull a result out of the bag. Opposite feeling tonight. I thought at half time, maybe even at about 70 minutes, I was quite pleased with how it was going. I didn't see Everton get back into it. We'd kind of let the impetus go in their favour in the second half a little bit. Really, it felt like we had the game under control, and it's just a moment of stupidity that's cost us it. And I suppose just a catalogue of missed chances. It's really hard to be too angry about it because of the team we've had to put out and kind of the limitations of it. And it is a case of kind of the performance probably deserved more than what we got on the night, whereas you'd say maybe didn't deserve to beat West Ham on the balance of the three goals we conceded, and we got a bit lucky on Saturday, I suppose, whereas tonight it felt like we probably deserved to win the game and didn't. The performance was better generally, but I don't know. That's still not good enough, is it? Drawing at home to them. It's embarrassing.
I think if you'd have taken, Harvey Barnes equalising at the weekend and taking his winning goal and making it count in this game, the feeling around the fan base would be completely different as it is. Still 4 points, but it's just how it's the manner of it. It's how it came about. And the fact that Everton haven't won a Premier League game since mid-December.
They still haven't,
but it's the hallmark of a very poor side. And I feel like second half, we really allowed Everton to drag us down to their level. It was very agricultural. It was very industrial. And it was a really awkward match, actually. And it was we just failed to take our chances again, which has been a common theme for quite a number of weeks and months now. We don't have that many goal scorers on the pitch, and we're relying on a couple of players who can put the ball in the net to get us out of, to get us out of these tricky matches. And there's only so much a couple of players can do. There's eight other outfield players who should be contributing, and they're not. And yeah, it feels a very deflating draw tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Dummett was looking very much like a farmer tonight, wasn't he?
I was enjoying the farm analogies, Adam.
Farm and industrial.
Yeah, no, it's really annoying. I think first half, we were good. I thought we controlled the game really well. You could see we had a smart game plan. I think we talked about, didn't we, about the when we were in position, they weren't pressing us. We were kind of happy, obviously, with the lead to just say, well, if you're going to not press, we'll just take time out of the game here. For me, half time comes and just the intent was all wrong. I think we came out second half and I don't really understand what the game plan was there. It wasn't as if we kind of expected them to come onto us. I mean, they tried a little bit more, but not a great deal. And it was almost like we were expecting them to come and to have a go at us and we were going to try and play on the counter. And it just didn't materialise. But we didn't take control of the game either. So really, really frustrating. And then obviously we end up having to make some changes and the team unfortunately just gets gradually and gradually worse and worse. And we end up with the quality that we've got on the pitch at the end there is Costa tonight. So it's a killer. But as you say, Si, it's kind of we're stuck with what we've got, unfortunately. These are players that we didn't expect to be getting anywhere near playing any minutes for us. So it's hard to be too kind of emotional and angry like we were after 70 minutes against West Ham when we they were bad as well, to be fair, but we'd gifted them some really poor goals. That didn't really happen tonight. And it's kind of just, I just feel exhausted. having
deflated.
Yeah, just having seen that kind of unfold the way it did. And it's, it's capped off with a really bad error from a player who has no right to be playing for, really, and it's killed her.
I think that's the thing for me. It's, you know, as we zoom out and think about, should we expect to win these games? Should we just expect? Everton haven't won a Premier League game since mid-December. Surely we go into these fixtures at St. James's Park. This isn't an away fixture even. Thinking that this is the kind of game we'd expect to get 3 points from. But having said that, the flip side of that coin, the other side of that coin, the flip side is that that I expect that of our starting 11 or our normal starting 11. And we didn't have that tonight. We had to try out something new. Gordon suspended for a game and we're once again, or maybe just continually ravaged by injuries. There's only so much you can say, but injuries, but really injuries. So I don't know if I expect us to win those games. And then I will let you speak, Adam. I can see that you're desperate, but I also kind of think on the first half, I would have expected us to win those games. On the first half, we looked like we were in control. We looked comfortable. It felt like, oh, we're back a bit. We're back a bit. The team is comfortable. They know where they're supposed to be. They know where the passes are going. This Everton are dog shit. It's going to be fine. And then it all just fell apart.
Mitigating factors, again, like as you said, we can't... It plays an important part of tonight, because one of the reasons of the drop-off of that second half is that we didn't have anyone to come on. And I think that almost plays into the players' mentality as well, when they know, right, we've got Willock to come on, who's a proper sub. But beyond that, do we have that many actual players to come on who can make a difference, can make an impact? I thought Willock coming on would maybe breathe life into that midfield again. But our midfield was just a bit stop-start. We never, as Ben's already alluded to, we never really got a grasp of that in the second half, and we allowed Everton to just come onto us and swarm around us, and they just had a lot more belief in that. Fair play to their perseverance, but the inability to freshen things up, I think, throughout the team in that second half, and Everton were bringing on loads of fresh legs as well. Yeah. I think that absolutely plays a part. Yes, we seem to talk about injuries and mitigating factors every single week, but it absolutely played a part tonight, I think, in that second half.
To be fair, Paul Dummett did make an impact when he came
just
on.
The wrong kind of impact.
Very much the absolutely wrong kind.
It's called total impact wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of impact he made.
I was going to say, I think if I was in that Everton squad, my eyes would be lighting up if I'm seeing a back four of Kraft, Byrne and Dummett and Martin Dvoravka, who refuses to come off his line. So, yeah, it wasn't really a surprise, was it?
I think, again, to kind of think about it, beginning of Saturday, Si, somebody said to you, you're going to get 4 points from the next two fixtures. You'd probably have expected it to be in the reverse way, that we might get a point from West Ham and three from Everton at home. But like, are you happy enough with four from those two fixtures, or is it just, it's about the manner of it?
No, yeah, the manner of it is important. And yeah, it feels like we have definitely thrown away 2 points tonight. And yeah, it's a late penalty and didn't really leave ourselves enough time or energy to win the game from that position. You're right about the fresh legs, Adam. I think it made a difference playing Saturday, Tuesday. I suppose in that respect, getting what we did out of those players for the first half was impressive, but we drifted from the game so quickly. But yeah, no, 4 points isn't good enough, really, given the season we've had and kind of the 10 games to save the season statements that were made before this. I think 4 points is frustrating. We're just not going to get into Europe if we keep hoying points away like this. We're running out of games to do it. And yeah, maybe we go to, if we go to Fulham and win next week, 7 points from nine is probably all right, but we can't keep saying, well, next week we'll make it better, because it's not, it keeps
and
not
how?
Happening. Yeah.
And like, how are we going to make it better would be the question, because I don't, we possibly picked up even more injuries tonight, Ben.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crap result. It's really bad. Everton, as you say, historically bad. They're a terrible, terrible team. Can't score goals without teams literally gifting them goals, and we've gifted them one tonight. And it's really infuriating that we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot. That was I'm sure they must have been told all week going into this game, just don't do anything stupid, and we've done it. And it's just, you can't really it's hard to kind of try and brush that off, because it's such a bad error. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the replay back. I don't think Calvert-Lewin's getting anywhere near that ball. No. Just leave him.
It's just going into Dubravka's hands. Crap. It's so silly. And you're right. It is. It's frustrating because of the error. It's such a needless error, but it's not really Paul Dummett's fault. The bloke's not a footballer anymore. He's basically a part-time bloke who makes up the numbers.
Part-time bloke.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the time, he's not even a bloke.
The other time, he's cattle on yeah, the farm, yeah. Isn't he?
He's working the fallow field that is this season. But it's, yeah, you're right. Blue. Like you said before, Ben, it's so hard to be too angry, because it feels like we kind of pretty much got this right. Like you say, we were kind of controlling the game. We were slowing things down first off, I presume to conserve energy and just kind of pick them off, which if we'd scored one of the umpteen chances we had to put this game to bed, it's a different outcome. You know, the offside goal, it's a whisker that he's offside. Murphy has two great chances. Barnes has some early chances. Isak should... We need to talk about Isak's finishing, which I'm sure we will in the second part of the show. But like, it's a game of missed chances. It's a game of kind of one ridiculous, stupid wrestling move error from a bloke who shouldn't be playing football. And in a season where we've been lamenting the manager's insistence to not change the left back when he's had two of the left backs on the bench, how has it come to this? How has it come to Paul Dummett coming on when he can't really play football? And I know we've been saying all season, well, he did all right in the cups, but that tonight was why he doesn't get a sniff, because he's not a Premier League footballer, and he hasn't been for a long time. And that's, you know, it's not his fault. He's the wrong side of 30. He hasn't played football for ages. He was always going to come on looking rusty and liable to make that error. But the fact that he's coming on at the game is the problem we've got.
Poor lad's weighed down with his wages as well. It's like he's getting paid to be a professional footballer. Poor lad.
It's a tough life for him. Yeah,
exactly. What we did well in the first half was we were a bit more assertive. We pressed pretty well. And... you know, before this game, or before the two games, I wasn't bothered about performances that much. It was just about trying to get points on the board. And that was what Saturday was. We pulled a win out of the jaws of defeat, essentially. So it's annoying that we haven't been able, we've only had literally, what, 2-3 days to soak, you know, to enjoy that feeling of a last minute winner. And now it's been replaced by a really downbeat deflation of a draw that we should have done better, and now we're gonna we didn't even have a week to kind of bask in that in that victory, and mentality is a really important thing. And I think what we've seen from both the games is the same themes of things going wrong. Dubravka being far too deep, that ball over the top that beats the ball through the lines that beats our midfield that had them running through, that happened again. Decore was finding himself in that space a few times tonight. It's recurring themes. It's the missed chances as well. Recurring themes that we're just seeing all the time. And it feels like that they must be obviously very, very aware that these are all problems to solve. But, you know, for whatever reason, they just can't seem to let it click. And because we're low on personnel as well, that's affecting Eddie Howe's ability to be flexible with his tactics. And it's going to be, I mean, we had a slightly better bench tonight than we did away to PSG, for example, but it wasn't that much better. Mm. We really, really impacted our ability to kind of influence and impact the game when things were going really tough second half.
Here's what I think. I think it's not good enough. I don't think it's good enough to be losing at home to Luton, Everton, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth this season. I think it makes a game like West Ham, where you come from behind and you know it's this amazing victory and everybody's feeling elated, it makes those games total anomalies to me. What I think it makes us is It makes the first half look anomalous. It makes the first half of tonight's game look like the fluke and not the standard. And I have serious concerns. And yes, there are personnel problems. And yes, there are. This is nowhere near the starting 11 or even finishing 11 that we would want anywhere near the pitch. But with the resources that we have available, and it kind of comes back to the off the pitch stuff as well, I think. And we're not going to necessarily get into all of that right now. But it all ties into this isn't good enough. Something has broken somewhere along the way here. And I have serious concerns. Like, there needs to be a huge reset to me in the summer.
The only thing I'd say
of all legs.
The only thing I'd say is like, it's just Paul Dummett wrestling the bloke to the ground. We would have won the game otherwise. Like,
we would have, but we were worse in the second half.
We were worse. We did run out of steam, like I say. I think their ability to bring on five subs when we had one sub, because we didn't want to bring Paul Dummett on. It was because Hall went off injured. In a game where it's hard to criticise the performance tonight, because I thought we managed the game pretty well. And I suppose they did hit the post and that gave us a bit of a wake-up call. But other than that chance, Dubravka's had to come and claim a couple. He's had a few hits straight at him. But until we give away that ridiculous penalty, and what was it, like the 89th minute, we're on course to win the game. And even if you beat Everton 1-0 in a scrappy 1-0, because that's how you would win a 1-0, you're more than happy with that. You're more than happy with those two games. You know, we've made hard work of them, and you come away with 6 points buzzing, and the fact that we were so close to it. And you're right, it's the manner in which we've done this. But I don't think the performance tonight was as concerning as it has been at various points in the season.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say the second half was for me, I think.
Right.
And you've just said it there, Shaw. Look at the teams. St James's Park is meant to be kind of the bread and butter. We should be battering all these teams, and yet we've dropped points against, as you said, Luton, Forest, Bournemouth, obviously Everton tonight. Some really bad teams, especially on the road. It's massively concerning that we don't seem to be able to kind of almost like regulate ourselves to put in a consistent performance for 90 minutes. And even then, I mean, as you say, I think first half we were good. We were creating chances. We've still created chances in the second half. But it comes back to what I said at the start. The intent just wasn't there. There was chances to attack them and kill the game off late in the game, especially when Willock's come on and he's bringing a bit of energy to the performance. We just kind of one kind of messy pass, whatever, and we kind of just shut down and we stop trying to attack them. And it's kind of like, right, we'll try and waste a bit of time here. It's like, no, lads, you've got them on the ropes here. Kill them off. And I don't know what it is about this team, but it kind of feeds into this kind of style of play where we're so methodical, we're so slow kind of moving the ball when we need to kind of speed it up. And we do it, don't get us wrong, it does happen at times in games. I mean, the goal came from that, from a quick ball up to Isak, and he kind of runs away and slots it away, and it's a great goal. But there's just too many times where we almost bore ourselves to death almost and kind of kill chances by just nobody really taking the game to the opposition. And it's so frustrating to watch.
I really agree with that. And I saw that against West Ham on Saturday as well. We were very static, quite one-dimensional, and just very predictable and readable. Like, and when you saw someone like Miggy come on for the 5 minutes or something that he was running around, he was swarming, and we needed more of that.
Unpredictable.
And tonight it was, again, where you've got Dummett there, who's not going to be able to maraud up the line. And they knew that. They backed off him because they knew that he couldn't do any damage. Couldn't do any damage from there. And they just had an extra man back stopping whatever pass he was going to try. And then so many times it was pass it back, go the other way, coming back. And they did well to kind of defend us and nullify our threats, especially. But it was just, it's just lack of dynamism, I think, a lack of energy. Willock brought a bit of energy, for example, but he didn't necessarily have the best game tonight. So even when we do have that energy, you're relying on form as well and things clicking with the players around him. We didn't use Barnes very much in the second half either. There's a lot of things happened that we could have done better if we'd just been a lot more focused, but we seem to just turn away sometimes from a chance was opening up and then we'd pull it back, go wide again, and it's just quite frustrating.
I thought Barnes was really good in the first half, but yeah. I thought the difference between the Barnes of this game and the Barnes of West Ham for that cameo where he was class his fullback was overlapping him constantly against West Ham. Like, Hall was just getting around him and taking a man away and just giving him so much more space to work in. Hall didn't get forward that much today. Maybe that was by design. Maybe, we're being a bit more cautious, and that's fine because we're in control of the game. But like you say, when we're trying to kill the game off and or chasing it after the penalty with Paul Dummett, basically Paul Dummett and Emil Kraft were like, just have the ball, lads. And when the Dids close them down, there's only one way they're ever going to go, which is a terrible pass up the line. It happened on both sides of the pitch. A terrible pass up the line from Kraft to Murphy, where he's just going to either go out of play or just, you know, he got himself out of some situations. He was all right, Murphy, but generally speaking, so predictable. Predictable is the word. And just so easy to defend against. And that, as the game went on, we just ran out of ideas and basically just gave them ways back in. I agree with that.
I also just think that Everton were acutely aware that our right-hand side was nowhere near as dangerous as our left-hand side. Yeah. So they kept kind of pushing all of their men across on the left-hand side to make us come back the right-hand side, knowing that we wouldn't be able to spring as we normally do. Kraft isn't he's decent, but he's not the marauding fullback that Trippier is or Livramento is. He just isn't that player. He doesn't have that quality. And I think we suffered because of it.
We did. We are getting into individuals. So let's do that in part two. We will leave it there. You may hear some messages now. We don't know. Sometimes they don't put them in. But if you definitely don't want to hear them, please join us on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month for absolutely loads of content. The £3 tier will get you this podcast ad-free. And even us talking about the adverts and upwards of that will get you tons more content. So please do join us there. We'll be back for part two after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Part two of the show, and we're going to get into some individual performances. And I think we should be positive. It wasn't all negative. We got a point out of tonight, and there were some standout performances. I'll start us off with Alexander Isak. He was... No?
I was going to say, I've got some negatives about Isak, so don't start with me.
Oh. Well, I've got positives about him, because watching him sort of dance through Everton and score that goal, it wasn't quite as balletic as at Goodison when he danced through three individual players round them all and then scored a goal. That was just such a perfect
Murphy got the goal, but yeah.
Well, oh yeah, Murphy.
We said assist. That at the time, we'll forget that Murphy scored this goal.
Whoops, sorry, Jacob. But he pointed to Isak, didn't he? Yeah, he was like, this was all him.
It was his moment.
Yeah. He did. He scored an excellent goal tonight. He had a few chances, which I'm sure you're going to maybe talk about that finishing. But I just think, where would we be without Alexander Isak? I also think, as we talked about in that first half, first part of the show, in the first half in particular, as we were channeling all of our play down the left and our right hand side was much weaker. Obviously, Everton sort of cottoned onto that for the second half. But in the first half, Isak was really, really drifting out to that right-hand side to offer support to a much weaker right-hand side so that we could use that. We didn't in the end use it that much, but he just reads the game. He sees where the weaknesses are. He knows what he can offer. And I am very excited that he's at Newcastle. I think he's a very, very bright spark. Who's your negative about him?
I think the big thing for me, I would say, is you can see the progression in his game. I think he's far more involved in the play now. When he drops in and links up the play, I mean, that, I know it'll have been covered a lot in the week, but the ball last week in that West Ham game for that third goal was incredible. And you're seeing him kind of get involved in the play a lot more. And it's almost like he realises, I suppose it's because we haven't got the quality in the midfield. He's kind of taking on the mantle to try and kind of drop in and kind of link the play a bit more. And he's class at it. I mean, he's brilliant on the ball. I think he makes the right pass most of the time. And he's just a really intelligent footballer. And I think the more we can get him into the games has got to be a good thing. And we should be doing it already. But I think that's one of the big positives of kind of losing some of the midfielders is that he's now kind of involving himself in games a lot more. And the more we can get him on the ball, the better for me. The goal was incredible. I mean, what a finish. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that Branthwaite playing for England and kind of being on the thrust of a huge kind of £80 million summer move or some rubbish like that. I mean, he got put on his arse today by Isak and made to look like an absolute chump. So, yeah, that was class.
Don't mince your words, Ben.
I won't. And I just think Isak is absolutely class. Absolutely love the bloke. And yeah, it was just a shame that he couldn't have kind of got that second to kill the game off, or even that the brilliant run that he made for the Burn goal that got disallowed. It was just kind of millimetres. The timing obviously was just slightly off. But I mean, I thought his performance tonight was deserving of kind of all 3 points, and it's just a shame that we weren't able to deliver that.
What I loved about the goal was everyone knew what he was going to do once he received that ball. He was going to cut in, but they still couldn't stop him. And he did the same actually slightly later in that first half, where he was dribbling within a foot of about 3 Everton defenders. None of them were ever going to get anywhere near that ball because his touch is that close. It's so good. That technique creates chances for himself. That technique allows him to create the half yard for him to burst past the defender. But when he picked up that ball from Harvey Barnes, brilliant assist. He picked it up and it was the composure, how he sort of strode into the box. And again, his ability and confidence to get past his defender allowed him a fairly straightforward finish, actually. And the second thing I really liked about Isak tonight was I loved his aggression. I loved his shithousery. I loved the fact that he was pushing players and getting in
Jordan Pickford. Yeah.
Getting in Pickford's face. And Isak never does that. And what he was doing is making a point to the referee that Pickford was holding onto that ball.
Pickford was right.
Yeah. Freudian slip, but I'll stand by it. He was making a point to the referee that Pickford was holding the ball for what, 10, 12 seconds every single time. And he was trying to make sure of it, but he was pushing into Branthwaite. He was using his physicality. He was just being nasty and difficult to play against. And I think we've missed that a bit from some of our players. One criticism of us this season is when we're too easy to play against, we're not nasty enough. Where's the shithousery gone? Mm-hmm. But he seemed to bring that a bit in terms of his aggression. And Ben's right, I noticed him dropping in deep a few times tonight to try and make things happen, because when you don't have that quality around you all the time, he's going to be quite isolated up front and you'll not get many touches. So I think you're right, Benny was coming in deep. He was trying to involve himself in the link-up play and get involved, probably because he was probably just a bit bored out on his own. But you're right, his game is developing and he's really becoming a really, really top Premier League striker. He's proving it week in, week out. He's fantastic. I love him.
Earlier in the season, all we were saying on this podcast was we're not getting him in the game enough. We're not getting him involved. He's basically getting one or two chances, snatching at them, and then basically drifting out the game. And that's probably more a criticism of the rest of the team at the time than it was of him. But I also think he's very much, he needs a run of games. He always takes a little bit of time to get going. And once he gets going, he is excellent. And all the things you've said are true. The thing that frustrates me a little bit about him is he's only scoring mint goals and penalties, but mint goals from outside the box and mint goals from in the 6-yard box, he keeps missing or fluffing really good chances, and that's fine because he's got 19 goals, whatever the season. I'm not, you know, that's the, he's not doing anything wrong, really, but he's done it tonight against West Ham.
We should stop scoring mint goals.
Yeah, just score the easy ones, score the shite ones, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
No, just, yeah, there was the one across the goal against West Ham where you could have put the game to bed earlier. And then there's another chance at the end of the West Ham. I don't know if we're already winning at this point, where it's 3-on-2 and he kind of hangs on the ball a bit much, and it's almost with too much time to think, he doesn't quite get it right. Whereas if he's playing on instinct and just doing what he gets it perfectly right. And yet again tonight, that there's a couple of chances. The one that where he just finds, I think it's Branthwaite on the line or I don't know, but
no, it was Mikalenko.
Mikalenko, and it's just like anywhere, just kick it anywhere in the goal, and he finds to hit, somehow hits the defender. It's just like, Just put one of the easy ones away. Just put a scruffy goal in and into the corner. Like,
there was that chance in the first half where instead of having a shot, he elected to dink it through to Sean Longstaff, who seemingly had sort of square boots on. Like, he just couldn't find his feet. It wasn't the best ball from Isak, in fairness. But at that point, if you've already got a goal, just lash at it. Have a go.
It's that decision, mate. And this isn't just Isak. I'm going to expand this point. But why the hell? And I love Longstaff, but what on earth are we doing every single time we get into the box, whether it's Isak, Willock, Murphy, Barnes, why are we laying it off to Longstaff at the edge of the box? Like, of all the players to lay it off to, like, whoever's on the ball, whether it's Isak, Murphy, faced away from goal, they've probably got a better chance of scoring than by laying it off to Longstaff, who we all know can't really shoot.
He panics as well.
So we need to stop popping it off to him, which is what they want you to do, and just turn, have a go, try and get a shot on the turn or lash it across goal. Stop popping it off to Sean Longstaff, the poor lad. He will then fluff it up, and then everyone just slates him. It's like, yeah, that's not his game. Just ignore him and try and score yourself.
Bruno's the same mind. Bruno, I know he hit the bar against West Ham, but he's not a natural striker of a football. And there's a couple laid back to him, which, again, I think we just need more goal-scoring midfielders, don't we, really?
Let's talk about Bruno then, because if we're talking about positives tonight, Bruno was absolutely all over the pitch. Brilliant. Just watching him and watching Isak on the pitch at the same time is something quite special, and something that perhaps we're not going to get the opportunity to see very often after this summer, because those are our saleable assets, the ones, and we have to think about things in those terms. But tonight he was just all over the place. He was saving us. It's in significant ways, pushing past their midfield when they sort of made changes and then really crowded out the midfield. He was still able to get through, less often, but he was still able to get through. Ben, you wanted to give him a little bit of love.
Yeah, I mean, I thought his aggression was perfect tonight, in terms of he actually had to do a bit more defensively today, and I thought he did really well in a couple of situations, not kind of come away with a booking, which would have been disastrous. And I just think, I mean, I feel sorry for him at times because he is such a good player. There was one point where I don't know how he did it, but he kind of beat two players in a very little tight space, knocks it to Sean Longstaff, who then like passes the ball back kind of where the balls would come from. And it's like, if you're Bruno, you're surely like, Sean, I've just like, did you not see what I've just done?
Taken three players out of the game and you've just
did
passed
you
them
not
straight
just see
back
what
into
I've
the
just
game?
Done there to get the ball forward and you've just chucked it back like... What are you doing?
Is this not what you meant for me to do?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're killing us, man. And then, there was a couple of runs in the second half as well. I mean, where he just, like, they couldn't get the ball off him. He's a brilliant, brilliant player to watch. And he's just, as you say, it's almost like there's so much pressure on him to deliver kind of in this team, especially the kind of the makeup of it at the minute. He nearly did it tonight, and there was a couple of... kind of passes and even a couple of chances kind of where he was kind of made himself like, I mean, so he found like two extra gears of pace tonight. There's a couple of balls over the top where did not expect him to get anywhere near, and he was just long busting runs like in the 80th minute or whatever, trying to kind of push the team forward. And I thought, yeah, it was a really like a brilliant performance from him, and it's just a shame that it's only got one point, because I thought he was brilliant tonight.
And it's weird, isn't it? You mentioned his pace. He's not known for his pace. It's not about his game, but there's something about him being able to take on a midfield, a flurry of midfielders around him. There was that one bit, I think, in the second half where he just kind of bundler's way, he gets his body, he uses his physicality in a different way that maybe a Joe Linton does or a Wilson does, but he's smaller and he just kind of, he's so good at protecting the ball,
he's
but
swift.
Also, yeah, but he's got
he
a burst of acceleration
between, yeah.
to get to get his body in the way between the defender and midfielder and the ball.
Yeah.
He's really canny. He's very, very clever. He doesn't have the pace, but he plays as if he does when he's trying to do those take-ons against the Everton midfield, and he managed that a lot tonight.
He looked absolutely gutted at full time when he came towards the Strawberry corner. Like, of all the, he was out in front of all the other players, gave a shit to a kid in the crowd, but he looked absolutely gutted, like really frustrated at kind of how it's gone, because he seemed to put everything in that game, and that, like you say, he was trying to just drive the whole team forward when everyone else was seemingly running out of energy and running out of ideas. He was like, "Now come on, lads, how we can sort this out." And just, yeah, you could tell he's getting a bit frustrated.
He was pissed off tonight, yeah. I think, with that the effort he's put in to see it kind of crumbled the way it did.
That's what worries me about the summer. Yeah, that's what worries me about the summer, because I think I've seen a few games this season where Bruno has ended the game looking a bit pissed off with his teammates and where it leaves the team. We've probably got enough time to just touch on Lewis Hall, I think, before we leave it for part two, only because we've talked and sung the praises of Isak and Bruno so much. But if you want to hear a bit more in-depth on other players, including Dan Byrne and possibly even Sean Longstaff, please do sign up to Patreon, because we'll do a full review and a little bit more analysis of this game on that platform. Lewis Hall, first Premier League start for us. Pretty good. I'll open the floor. Si, do you want to talk about how good he was?
Yeah, he looks like a decent left back, which is the question we've always been asking. We've seen him come off the bench when we needed goals, and we needed a player to get forward, and he absolutely did that against West Ham. But all he had to do against West Ham, we were saying off air before we started, was like just get round Barnes and just give us another option, which he did brilliantly. We saw the same at Old Trafford, where Man U didn't really get out their own half, and he was just class at going forward. But we've never really been sure. The question's always been, oh, is he just not good at defending? Is that why he's not getting the team? But I thought he was very good in defence. I mean, yes, Ashley Young's about 45, but he certainly did a good job against him. He was, I think he played right back for Villa last season and had Gordon in his pocket. So, you know, he's still a good player. So, yeah, I thought Lewis was very good at left back. And you're just wondering, like, why has he been protecting him for so long?
That's the thing.
You saw why, because then if he comes on and gets injured, you've got to put the PE teacher on at left back, and then and then we're absolutely knackered. So
I think the thing
I'd rather they use the PE teacher.
I think the thing with Lewis Hall, and people will be saying, oh, well, if he's this good, we should have been playing him all. But
yes.
I think the thing to think about is maybe he's not as accomplished as we've seen in the last couple of games, unless he's been thrown in when he's ready. He's been protected by Howe. He's not going to throw him in and set him up for a fall. I remember, was it Dortmund away? And he was hauled off at half-time, wasn't he? That was just out of necessity that he played that game. I think in any other circumstance, he doesn't get a look in the starting 11. Of course he doesn't. But I think maybe the reason that we're sort of seeing some of the some better performances for him, or at least more accomplished and is that he's maybe had that time to develop under Howe. I think what he brings to the team is technicality, is very, very important to be able to pass around triangles in tight spaces. He can do that. He's pacey and he can dribble. And I think we noticed him when he wasn't on the pitch. And that's the big thing for me.
I was going to say, I mean, I think the big thing is kind of into the point you're saying there, you can see that, I mean, what was it, 70 minutes he played today? And he's kind of an all-action player. He's bombing up every two, and it's a physically demanding kind of style of play that he does. So maybe that's why ultimately went off. I think it looked like a cramp or something. Which isn't a great look, but ultimately that probably explains why he's not been playing so much, because he wants to get forward. Yeah, he gets cramp as well, but he wants to get forward. And I thought he had a really good game. He gives us something that none of the other left backs, well, other than Tino potentially, but he gives us kind of an all-rounded performance. I thought he's attacking play. He wants to get forward. He's got a good cross on him, and he's brilliant. And we saw the best of that against West Ham and at times today. But I think the impressive thing for me was he was winning headers. He won loads of headers today. Kind of his defensive kind of positioning, and he was never kind of really caught out of position at any point. So yeah, it was really, really encouraging performance. I think there's definitely a player there that hopefully kind of coming to next season will get more opportunities and he'll be kind of stronger and fitter for that. And he's definitely a player that I've got a lot of hope for kind of going forward, because I think he gives us a bit more of an all-rounded left-back option.
Yeah, and he's super young. He's still only 19, so there's lots to come there. And Presumably he is staying at Newcastle United. I think that was what the noises from Newcastle United have pointed towards. We'll leave it there for part two. In part three, we will talk Fulham. We will talk our chances against them this weekend and how we're feeling and their current form. Stick with us. We'll be back after these messages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Part three of the show, and let's talk about Fulham. Fulham lost tonight. They have had a couple of poor results in a row now. And we go down to their place on Saturday, 3 p.m., your traditional football kickoff time, to hopefully take away 3 points. Are you, Ben, I'll ask you this. I'll come to you first. Are you simply lusting after 1 point, given that Paul Dummett's probably going to start that game? Or are you confident based on enough of what you've seen tonight? It does look like, I'll just, for those who haven't necessarily seen, it does look like Miggy, Trippier, and Tino are all going to be out for about a few, three to four weeks is what we're hearing at the moment. That was kind of announced mid-game by Chris Woff on his Twitter account. So we really don't have a lot of hope.
We don't have a lot of Pope there either.
We don't have a lot of Pope either, yeah.
The one saving grace is that Gordon will be back for that game. And I think with Gordon and Isak on the pitch, we're capable of beating anyone. This is a Fulham side that have had a really good season by their standards. I think they've got a great home record. So it's going to be a tough game. They've got a striker who's in great form, scoring goals. But just drawn threes each with Chef Yu. Could have, it would look like they were going 4-1 down in that game. Have lost tonight, so they're not in great form themselves. I think it's a big opportunity for us to go and kind of right some wrongs. As I say, I'm with, I think someone said it earlier in the game, they're not too much kind of concerned about performances, but I want to see us go and take the game to Fulham. Don't let them settle, get into them. We've got, with Gordon on the pitch, that kind of front three, Gordon, Barnes and Isak are capable of winning any game. We saw it last week. So I think we'll be a lot stronger for that. And hopefully that'll take a bit of pressure off kind of the defensive vulnerability that we've shown. So we can still go to Fulham and get a result there. So I'm confident.
It's one of those things where like we feel like we're the team you want to play when you're in a bad run. Newcastle just seem to be the team that come on lads, we'll turn your form around. But Fulham have been that for us. Whenever we've been going through a bad spell, there's always been a Fulham game to turn around. The 3-0 win before Christmas was the only good thing in December, and yeah, they went down to 10 men, but we were actually all right in that game with 11 before that happened. And then the cup game this year, it was quite comfortable. Fulham were just there, and it just kind of kick-started us a little bit with before we drew Man City. Also tonight on 33 minutes, Marcus Silva's made a triple sub, so he must have been really fucking pissed off. That's not a good look if you're having to hook off three players after 33 minutes. Things aren't well. So yeah, it's like I said earlier, if we can take 7 points from these three games and go there and beat Fulham, you actually think, yeah, you know what, we're building up a bit of form here, a bit of momentum, despite the fact that we've got basically 11 first team players out the team. That's all right. That would be, it's quite an important game. Tonight doesn't have to be the disaster that it feels in the immediate aftermath if we can continue to pick up points and go there and right some wrongs.
Yeah, and Craven Cottage has been a much happier hunting ground for us the last few years. I mean, it was almost a bit of a bogey team for us to play against, but as you mentioned, the cup win earlier in the year, the 4-1 last year, the 4-0 went in the Rafa era as well. We go down there and we can smash them on the regular. So hopefully we can bring that kind of attitude. And if we can be a bit more, as I saw in the first half today, a bit more aggressive, a bit more assertive, bit of shithousery, bit nastiness, just make ourselves difficult to play against, even if the quality isn't there all the time as it should be. We know that. But if we can just go and impose ourselves and never give up, persevere, there's absolutely a chance that, you know, Gordon coming back in at the side can kind of invigorate that front line, and we just need to finish a lot more chances. We're creating enough. We just need to score some more goals.
And in positive news, I've just had a little look there about any kind of, because we on an evening game, we come and record straight after the game, which is why sometimes our thoughts can be a little jumbled. Sometimes our emotions can be a little high. But speaking for myself mostly there, but I have had a little look about Eddie Howe's post-match comments there, and he's confirmed that Hall came off with quote-unquote fatigue. So
cramp.
So it does look like, Ben, I'll ask you the same question again, because it looks like we may not start that game with Dummett. Hall might start again.
Thank God.
3 points, winning the league.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I think, we've got enough good players there. I mean, we've just talked about Bruno and Isak, how good they were. We've got the quality there. And I think Fulham have hit a bit of bad form, so it's a good time to play them.
Absolutely. Any more from any more? I think we'll leave it there for this podcast. Once more from me, if you would like to join us on Patreon, please do. It's between £3 and £8 a month. There's tons of content from me, Si, Ben, Adam, and lots more True Faith contributors. So please do join us over there. We'll be building up to the Fulham game. We've got a pro view this week with one of our ex-pro players, and plenty of content coming your way. So have a listen. Thank you so much, you three, for joining me this evening. Thank you all for listening. Take care. This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begamblerware.org. Be drink aware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.